Mothers deserve the absolute best. So this Mother's Day, spoil the moms in your life with little luxuries from Osea. Osea's skin and body care is the perfect way to remind all the moms, mother figures, caregivers, grandmothers, and mother-in-laws in your life to make time for themselves. If you have been looking for the perfect gift, I recommend Osea's Andaria Algae Body Oil. I've been using it for years, and it seems like every single time I apply it, I get compliments on my skin. This body oil is rich, but it's never greasy, and it's clinically proven to instantly improve skin elasticity. Your skin will feel more sculpted and toned, and you'll be left feeling silky, soft, and glowing. Another favorite of mine is the Andaria Collagen Body Lotion. Ever since I've been using collagen, I have noticed a difference in my skin. In fact, it's never been better. Using Osea's body oil and lotion together is a mega moisture duo, giving you a full body glow. Osea's products are infused with their signature Andaria seaweed, but it's also clean, vegan, cruelty-free, and climate-neutral certified. Really just a perfect gift for yourself, the moms in your life, and even the planet. Spoil the moms in your life with clean, vegan skin and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with the code YOGA at oseamalibu.com. You'll get free samples with every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Head to oseamalibu.com and use the code YOGA for 10% off. Welcome to the Yoga Girl Podcast. I hope wherever you are right now that you are safe. I want to start off and just right off the bat say I have been trying very, very hard not to break down, not to cry, not to fully allow myself to feel the extent of everything I'm feeling right now. And sitting down just to record this, I know I'm gonna cry. So this is gonna be a tearful podcast. If I have to pause and blow my nose halfway through, I apologize in advance. These coronavirus times, I've had so many moments over the past week that have felt like otherworldly, that have felt this can't be happening, that have felt, you know, unbelievable. Like, I can't believe this is where we are. And so many moments have I just paused and gone, okay, well, I'm going to talk about this on the podcast this week. Like, wow, this is something really big to share, something really big to talk about. And then the next day, something else happened. And then the next day, something else happened. And now I hit this kind of absurd point today where I don't even know where to begin. So let's take a breath. Yeah, I definitely need to take a breath. So let's close our eyes. Maybe place both hands to your heart. And let's take a real deep breath. Here now, just full deep inhale. Open the mouth and exhale. And just for a minute or so, let's stay right here, just with our hands to our hearts, feeling what's moving in our hearts in this moment, just noticing what's present inside of you right now, how you are feeling in this moment here now. Not having to shy away from anything, not having to hold anything back, but just for a moment, checking in, tuning in, feeling in. I genuinely believe that whenever we sit down and we take a moment like that together, even if it's just a minute of holding our hands to our hearts and feeling, it does something for the greater whole. Yeah, it helps us to almost hold hands, yeah, through closed apartments and sealed off houses and borders and places around the world right now. We have this ability to unite during these challenging times. So I like to imagine right now, as I'm sitting here holding my own heart, imagining you listening wherever in the world you are right now, holding your hands to your heart. Thousands and thousands of us right now, maybe more than a million of us right now, listening, holding, breathing. Let's take another breath. Exhale. And blink your eyes open.
Okay, I'm a little more grounded right now. Today has been one of the hardest days of my entire life. And I share that knowing full well I'm in a very, very privileged situation. There are people out there in the world who have it 100,000 times worse than I do right now. There are people who were very vulnerable, very fragile situations before this pandemic happened that are now incredibly, incredibly vulnerable. So I share that because I never want to minimize anyone else's sorrow or pain. And it's hard for me sometimes to share the full extent of what I'm feeling, especially knowing that so many other people have it worse. But I also know that when I allow myself to go all the way into that place of, okay, this is my challenge right now, I feel pain right now, it's valid that I feel pain. I'm a human being like everybody else, and we are all allowed to feel what we feel. I know when I do that, there's a chance that I also give you permission to feel what you feel. And I think it's important. Yeah, who was it? Glennon Doyle said something the other day. She said, not allowing yourself to feel sad because other people might be sadder. It's kind of like not allowing yourself to be happy because maybe other people are happier. You know, it doesn't make any sense. And it really stuck with me. So yeah, today has been one of the hardest days of my life. As you guys know, I live in Aruba. Aruba is a little bit behind when it comes, of course, to this pandemic. It's been spreading, and we know Europe after China and Asia, and then Europe was hit, and then it started really expanding and spreading in the States. I think Aruba is a couple days or maybe even a week behind the mainland U.S. And for a while over here, we're a small island. We're 115,000 people live here. It's a super tiny island. You can drive across point to point in, you know, half an hour. Before we had any cases here, we had a pretty long time of everybody feeling really safe, I think. It really felt like this is something it's just not going to reach here. And although I had this fairly serious understanding of, hey, it's not a question of if it's going to get here, it's a question of when the virus is going to spread here. We have almost 2 million tourists, if you include cruise ships, that come to this island every year. You know, it's a huge tourist destination. People fly in from everywhere. So of course it wasn't, are we going to get it, but when are we going to get it? But up until the moment we had our very first case announced, I think the entire island was kind of lulled into this safe sense of security. And even though we were preparing, you know, because there's definitely that feeling of, man, we gotta get ready. You know, this is gonna come, it's gonna hit, we don't know what's gonna happen. So we were feeling it, talking about it, sensing it, preparing a little bit. But I had this idea, I think because the thought of it, you know, becoming a pandemic reaching us was so scary for me that I didn't wanna allow myself to actually really believe it. So I think I had my head in the sand for a little while. And then I have to count. It feels like a year has passed in the past 4 days. So much has happened in the past 3 or 4 days. It's unbelievable. But last week, so it was Leia Luna's birthday, my daughter's third birthday. She turned 3. That's March 13th. It was on Friday. And we spent Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, you know, preparing for her party. We had a big party planned for Sunday, for March 15th, and we spent the beginning of this week, you know, just preparing for this party. We had a bouncy house rented, and I was making 2 big, like one Elsa cake, one Anna cake. We still have all these decorations that this beautiful woman brought us from the U.S., and gift bags, and we had 70 people coming, 35 kids, and a bunch of parents, and all of our friends, and you know, it's a really big party. And we spent literally Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday blissfully preparing. And it wasn't until I think Wednesday afternoon, it sort of hit me like, man, is it a good idea to have a lot of people together right now? No one was really taking action in Aruba. Nothing had closed. There had been nothing like that. But I'm following closely what's happening in the U.S. and we had no confirmed cases here. So we had this idea, well, there isn't corona in Aruba. Aruba is safe. We're isolated. We're on an island. We're fine. And then Leia Luna's birthday came along. March 13th. She went to school in the morning, went to doggies in the morning. She's totally fine, like, you know, super healthy. Went to school. We baked cupcakes for the entire school. That's a custom here in Aruba. When you have a birthday, you bring cake or you bring something for everybody. So we did that Thursday night and then sang for her in the morning on Friday. And then she went to daycare. She went to doggies, we call it. And then that day, early afternoon, they announced the first case of corona found in Aruba. Two cases that were found at the same time. And overnight, it went from some sort of fake sense of peace to pandemonium, to total panic. I think Dennis and I were super lucky because we were preparing for this party. So we had stocked up on a lot of food. We have so much like party food. And, you know, we were going to have like a hot dog stand with vegan hot dogs for everybody. And, you know, we had bought all this stuff and we actually went to, there's only one big store here in Aruba where you can stock up on things that sells things in bulk. It's called Price Mart. It's like a Costco. And we were there on Wednesday and I told Dennis, I said, hey, let's get some stuff just in case. Yeah. So we got a couple of boxes of toilet paper, not much, two big bags of rice, a couple of bags of beans and canned goods. And it was just kind of absurd to even buy that stuff. You know, I had this feeling of like, this is ridiculous. Like, are we going to need this? Like, this seems ridiculous, you know, to buy all this food. But anyway, it's going to last. So we're going to be fine. And we'll eat this food the way we normally would. Like, we're not going to have to, it's not going to be real, you know. But then we bought like Lysol spray and of course there's no hand sanitizer anywhere. And we did stock up on kind of a lot of, yeah, supplies, I guess, or food. For me, that's the most important thing is food. Are we gonna be okay? But still, it wasn't that sense of panic. It was pretty calm in that store. It was busier than normal, but still calm. The next day or 2 days later, first case was confirmed and it went from, yeah, semi-calm to crazy. It took half a day before we ran out of everything, literally everything. Everybody stocking up, of course, everybody going to the same places at the same time. So as the government starts telling people like, hey, you got to stay home, you got to self-isolate, every single person who lives here went to one of our three stores on the island at the same time, everybody together, you know, so not the wisest moves. And over the weekend now, we just had the third case confirmed yesterday. And I've had this sense just over the weekend and kind of beginning of this week of I have to keep it together. I've had this feeling of like, I really got to keep it together because I feel like if I let go just a little bit, I'm going to collapse. I'm not going to make it. And I feel that way, even though things here compared to other places are still fairly okay, right? And I've been really struggling with that all throughout this week, and it took a while for me to even get there. And it got to a place where I think Monday, Dennis and I had a huge fight. We never fight, oh my God, like this. Like we really had a blowout that led to we had a big clearing, both of us could cry. And I just realized like, hey, we've spent a week not talking to each other. We spent a week not communicating the way we normally do because we've both been sort of paralyzed with fear, trying to act on all this stuff on our own separate tracks without giving ourselves time to actually like, hey, I'm scared. Like, I'm scared, you know. We didn't have that moment of just sitting down, looking each other in the eye and just feeling, man, this is scary. Like, I feel scared. We had a whole week just frantically trying to get stuff together. And I feel the moment I got to acknowledge that, I started to realize the extent of how terrifying this is. And it's not terrifying for everybody. And I'm talking to people and friends and family and things. And some people feel, you know, this is going to blow over. It's going to be okay. And some people feel like, oh, this is bad, but we're going to get stronger. You know, everybody, of course, has different reactions and also in different stages. You know, some people, I think, are still in denial and some people have moved way past acceptance and are kind of grieving this. I mean, we are all in the middle of this huge collective trauma right now. And for me, what I realized as I've been digging into this, especially after I finally softened a little bit with Dennis on Monday night, is that I already have this big wound and many wounds from my childhood where I constantly feel fearful about everybody's safety, right? Where I'm constantly worried that I'm not going to have enough. I have this sense of lack. It's almost like it's in my backbone. This feeling just from when I was little that I don't know if we're going to be okay, right? I don't know if we're going to be okay. I don't know if we're going to have enough. I don't know if we're going to survive. And this feeling that, man, I really have to make sure that we're okay. It's like it's on me to make sure that we're okay. And of course, I've had that moving through my own traumas and things when I was little. And I deal with that in my day-to-day life really well, I think. I mean, I am a controlling person. I've learned how to let go. I've learned how to be more easygoing. Of course, my yoga practice and meditation and all the personal development work that I'm doing, it helps me with that every day. But I can be very conscious with it. You know, when I get into a stressful situation, immediately I need to take the reins. No way I'm going to let someone else steer the ship, you know, if we're in a stressful moment. Like, I got to be the one to keep track of everything. And I am that way normally without being in a crisis, right? Also, this feeling of lack, it's something that I'm working with a lot in my life. A really great way I can explain that is my entire life, for as long as I can remember, I hate buffets. It just the idea of going to a buffet, whether if it's like at an event or a wedding or something, or at a hotel or a party, you know, not so much hotels, I think, but like a party or a buffet or the kind of meal where they put all the food in the middle of the table. For a really long time in my life, I had that feeling of I got to be the first one to the buffet and I got to make sure I get enough because maybe there won't be enough for me, which is not a logical thought. You know, I'm an adult. Obviously, I know there's food for me, like, you know, and if for whatever reason there isn't, like, I can feed myself, like, it's okay. But I have that feeling. It's just kind of backbone type of feeling. And every time I go to a buffet, I have to pause. I have to take a moment, check in with my body and make sure I don't overfill my plate with food I won't be able to eat. Because that's how I am, right? So this situation right now where we don't know if we're going to have food to eat in a couple of weeks. And this is more severe here than it is in a regular country or in mainland or in Europe or in the States or wherever you are. We are isolated on a tiny island in the middle of the Caribbean. Our closest neighbor is Venezuela, which is, of course, in its own humanitarian crisis right now. And we're not a self-sustained island. We don't have food growing here. We don't grow our own food. We don't produce our own food. We don't have our own supplies. We completely rely on the export of goods from other countries, mainly the Netherlands and the United States, completely. When we get fruits and vegetables here, you know, it's the kind of fruits that were picked unripe off the vine and they let them ripen in a container over 2 weeks getting here. You know, we get those tasteless white tomatoes. Like, that's the kind of food we get. Everything is imported. So, you know, if these other countries would suddenly stop exporting goods because, you know, they have to take care of their own citizens, right? Maybe there is a shortage. It's going to be a shortage of food, of supplies. People are not going to be able to work. Nobody knows what's going to happen with this economy. If they stop exporting goods and foods to us, we have no way of making our own. We literally would starve if that were to happen. Now, going all the way there, it's like a stretch. Everyone's telling me, well, that's highly unlikely. Yeah, so was the idea of entire countries being on lockdown, of us being quarantined right now as a global, like, all of us, you know, all of this was very unlikely. Every day, something that I would have said a week, 2 weeks ago as highly unlikely, something like that happens every single day. So yeah, it's unlikely, but like, not that unlikely. And this feeling, I don't know if there's going to be food for us to eat. Yeah. We've run out of toilet paper. Okay. Like, you can find a way. You can take a poop. You can take a poop anywhere. You can get in the shower. You can, there's ways, right? You can use a leaf. Like, you can be crafty and figure toilet. I don't know what this thing about toilet paper is, because as far as I know, coronavirus doesn't give you explosive diarrhea, but I don't know why we are out of toilet paper everywhere. But when it comes to things like feeding ourselves, like, that's really, really, really serious. And during this week, this feeling that I've had of, like, I don't know if we're going to be okay. And I've had days where I've spun completely out of control into that place of, I don't know if we're going to be okay. We got to do more. So I'm trying to prepare, but I don't know how long I'm preparing for, and I don't know what I'm preparing for. And It's so stressful. And I know so many of you guys listening, you know this feeling, right? Of you want to make sure that you're safe, right? You want to make sure that you're taken care of, that your family's taken care of, that you're going to be okay. But there's no way to settle that feeling of discomfort. There's no way to settle that feeling of unease because you don't know what the fuck you're preparing for. I keep telling Dennis, I say, I'm totally okay. If they would tell us, hey, we're not going to have any food 30 days from now. We're not going to have any food and we don't know how long that's going to last, but it's going to be at least 2 months. Then I could know, okay, we're going to have 2 months with shortage of food. I can make a plan for that shit. I can meal prep. I'll write that down. I'll weigh out the rice, portion it out. Like literally, because this is how my brain works. Like I'll make sure that all of that is under control and then I'll feel better, right? But because I don't know, are we supposed to be rationing our food right now? Am I eating too much these days? Should we take it easy with what we're eating? Should we like, should we starve a little bit now so we don't have to starve a lot later? Like I've been really spinning off into those places. And yeah, some of you guys might say that's totally unreasonable. I'm overreacting. I'm being crazy. Sure. That's how I feel, right? So this whole global energy right now of fear is impacting all of us in different ways. And for me, it's been this big thing of food, of lacking, of shortage, of not having enough. And I had to have a moment with Dennis where I said, hey, if this really goes all the way bad, right? If it gets really, 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 really bad, maybe, you know, what if something happens with the electricity on the island? You know, what if that happens? How will we, you know, take care of our house? Okay, we have solar panels. We can get a battery attached to that. It's super expensive. We don't have the money. Trying to figure that out. Can we figure that out somehow or borrow money from someone to make that happen? Okay, what about if we have no water? I'm like becoming one of those doomsday preppers people. Like how can we, boats have desalinators. That's how you purify water when you're like crossing the Atlantic. I'm like, we can get a desalinator. Probably attach it to the tank in the house. Like, okay, let's figure that out. Like I've gone through all of those scenarios of worst case, really. Like I went all the way there. And for every day that passes, I feel less and less like I'm crazy and more like I'm doing something totally sensible by trying to make sure I have gone through the entire list of doing everything I can do to make sure that we are safe. But then the question becomes, so who's we? Right? Who are we? Do I draw that line? Is it just me, my husband, and my daughter? Like, we have our team of people here, our staff, their family, Dennis's family, our closest friends. Beyond that, acquaintances, people we don't know, this entire society, vulnerable people in this society. It's beyond. It's really beyond. And if I let myself worry about everyone, I won't make it. Like I have to try to draw this circle of like, okay, what can I control? And then people in need as they come my way, which they have, how can we help them? Sometimes in life, skepticism can serve you well. It can save you money, keep you from wasting a day at a timeshare presentation, and help you avoid spreading gossip. To be honest, when I'm faced with a new scenario, I usually tend to be a skeptic until something proves me wrong. And if you're like me, you can probably spot a too good to be true health hack from a mile away and read labels like it's your job. That's where Ritual comes in. They know that every good skeptic deserves a multivitamin that exceeds your standards. Their clinically backed Essential for Women 18 Plus multivitamin has high quality, traceable key ingredients in clean, bioavailable forms. Take 2 delayed release capsules per day that optimize your body's absorption, and you'll get 9 key nutrients. Ritual's Essential for Women is USP verified, so you know you can trust what you're putting in your body. Only about 1% of supplement brands on the market have the USP verified mark, which shows the product contains the ingredients actually listed on the label. On top of that, Ritual multivitamins are vegan, non-GMO project verified, gluten and major allergen free, certified B Corp, and made traceable. I take my vitamins every morning with breakfast. It's part of my daily ritual, and I feel so good doing it. No more shady business. Ritual's Essential for Women 18 Plus is a multivitamin you can actually trust. Get 25% off your first month at ritual.com/yogagirl. Start Ritual or add Essential for Women 18 Plus to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/yogagirl for 25% off. So all this is leading up to today. which I started this podcast off saying today was the hardest, one of the hardest days of my life. So over the weekend, Leia got a cough. Okay, I'm trying so hard not to cry right now. So she went to school on Friday. She was totally normal, everything fine. Saturday night, like Saturday evening, she started coughing, but it was a little like, I thought like, are you choking on something? Like, are you eating something? You know, like that kind of cough. But then she kept going and thought, okay, that's odd. And then she coughed a little bit at night, not so much. And then Sunday and Monday, she was coughing, like dry cough, not a phlegmy kind of cough where stuff comes out, you know, like a dry cough, which is what they say. One of the main symptoms of coronavirus is this very dry cough. She didn't have any other symptoms, no fever. She wasn't lethargic or tired or sluggish. She was, you know, running around and playing and doing all her normal stuff, but just a big cough. And Sunday night, she coughed to the point of throwing up twice, which obviously, you know, in normal times, like non-corona times, she's very rarely sick, you know, and she's never done that. She's never coughed to the point of throwing up before. Like, I would be worried if we weren't in a global pandemic. So obviously I'm worrying like crazy. And there's a hotline, there's a coronavirus hotline here on the island. And we immediately called and explained, you know, here's exactly what's going on. These are the symptoms. And they said, oh, you know, you don't have to worry at all. They really, really almost made us feel like we're a little crazy for calling. Like, this is totally fine. She's just a toddler. Toddlers, you know, all the regular colds and little flus and regular bacterial stuff, like all that continues as normal. It's not like every cough, every person coughing has coronavirus. No, all of the other stuff still exists. So they just said, no, don't you worry at all. And then she had the cough on Monday, really bad all day. And then Tuesday morning, she woke up and she's totally fine. No cough all day Tuesday and Tuesday night. And it seems to be like a night cough, like it's worse at night. Not one single cough. So I took like a deep breath, like, okay, like she just had one of those weird, like, you know, kids get something and then it's gone. And then today's Wednesday as I'm recording this. So woke up Wednesday morning and she slept a little longer than she has over the past week, which was kind of strange. And get her out of bed and she's boiling. I mean, boiling. You know, when you pick up a really tired kid from their crib and she's just, you know, hanging over my shoulder and hot. And take your temperature. She has 104, 40 degrees Celsius, 104 Fahrenheit, which is, which makes me think immediately, like, wait, what was her fever like during the night? Like, what if she had fever spikes above that at night? Like, that's getting to that kind of scary high fever, you know. I completely freaked out. Obviously, it's not fun for any mother, any parent when your kid has these high fever spikes. It's always scary with a super high fever. But right now, like corona time, not okay. So we called back to this hotline. We've been in isolation since Friday. So since her birthday, we haven't met anybody. We haven't interacted with anybody. We've been to the store, or not me. I haven't left the house since Friday, since her birthday. So that's 5 days, almost 5 days ago. Dennis went to the store twice. He had to get gas and then he went to the store. Super careful not to touch anybody. We're doing this thing now where before he enters the house, if he's like gone to get something, he literally gets naked in the garden, puts his clothes straight into the washing machine, and then washes his hands and then goes and takes a shower. Like, that's where we are. And so we've been isolated. And then, you know, she had this fever today and we called the hotline, and then she started getting, you could just tell the woman, it was, I don't know if it was the same woman, Dennis was on the phone, but that they definitely took it seriously because the fever was so high. Apparently that's a sign, and that's not going down. So we gave her, I normally don't like to give paracetamol and things like that, but if it's really high, like, of course I will. And so I did that. I think at 10, she got one, and her fever went down to 38.6 for 30 minutes and then went right back up to 40. It was like, it gave her 30 minutes of a little bit of relief and then spiked again. So it didn't really take. And that made them really concerned. And the fact that she had this super dry cough that was really severe, but it didn't happen at the same time. It wasn't like she had cough and a fever and she was lethargic, like those three things that are the big symptoms. It was first a cough, then a whole 24-hour break, and then a fever, which, you know, it's super scary, all of it. So they just said, okay, we're gonna send this to the main doctors who are in charge, and if you need to come in, we'll call you. And the dentist hung up, and 20 minutes later they called and they said, you have an appointment in 20 minutes, come right away. And I can't really explain. And I know, so for people who've been over the kind of hump of like, I think once you're in that place where your country has completely locked everything down, like no one's allowed to leave their houses, I'm waiting for that to happen here. People are still out and about. Restaurants are open. You know, like 2 days ago, I was trying to get to the beach so I could sit and meditate somewhere peaceful without people. I couldn't find a place without that wasn't packed with people. I saw a party. It was a beach party. I'm on one of the beaches where I normally go. So people haven't been taking this seriously at all. Up until yesterday, it was still totally legal for everybody to stay open all night. So all of my friends who are, you know, bartenders or waitresses, they're all working all night, super busy with people who are out partying. You know, that was where we are. So I think Aruba took action quickly in terms of banning flights. Like that happened really fast. I think immediately with the first cases, they started banning flights in and out of the country. Now there's a 10 p.m. curfew, which I don't know. That doesn't make any sense. I don't think Corona cares what time you're out. I felt kind of proud of the government that they took pretty serious action pretty fast. I wish it was 2 weeks earlier, obviously, but faster than other countries, at least. We didn't have to wait for 30 cases before something happened or 100 cases, but it happened after the second and third case. Now, again, we only have 100,000 people living here, so a very, very small boat. So when they called back right away and were like, you got to come in right now. You know, they have this temporary office set up downtown, and Dennis just got all her stuff together. And I was like, okay. And then I had to turn around and I just started bawling. And it was kind of like spending all of this time fearing this disease or fearing this virus, worried. You know, every time you hear anybody cough or sneeze or, you know, thinking about disinfecting everything all the time, washing your hands to the point of like my hands cracking, like so much time fearing this one thing. And then suddenly it was like today we were just faced with it, like face to face, like, yeah, come in, you got to get tested for this. And it just, and I know, you know, it's all you hear, you know, kids are fine with this virus. If you're young and healthy, you're likely to be fine with this virus. It's deadly and scary for immunocompromised people. It's dangerous for the elderly. You know, we've heard this so many times, but it doesn't mean that makes everything feel okay. Of course not. There have been severe cases of people who are, you know, in the ICU on life support, who are in their 30s, who are in their 20s, who are in their 40s. This is scary for all of us, you know, and just the fact that, yeah, no children have died with this virus. Okay. You know, it's a big comfort. I don't know how we would manage if this was something that hit our kids the worst, but it's still the most terrifying fucking thing. It's just this whole feeling of we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what's going to happen with us if we get sick. We don't know what's going to happen with all the people that we've interacted with. We've been isolated for 5 days. You know, there's literally so many ways you can get this virus. I'm just like, you know, picking up something from the grocery store. Literally, like it, you can get the virus that way. Just from so many people not being careful, not being cautious, not taking it seriously. You know, it's a very, very, very real thing. And I've been reading enough, and I like to read the stats and statistics and the numbers and what people have analyzed in other countries just to know, you know, what's coming. And right now we have so many countries that have been through this that it's pretty easy to tell exactly what's going to happen with certain populations if this is not contained. And there's that kind of simple math that they were sharing after what they saw in China, what they saw in Italy, what they saw in Iran, South Korea. Is whatever number you have of known cases in your area, the likely real number is that number either multiplied by 10 for a, you know, lowballing it, or multiplying it by 30 if you want to be more realistic. So if we're lowballing it and we have 3 confirmed cases here, it means we have 30 real cases. Okay, not so terrible. But then you got to take that number and you're going to multiply it by 2. And then you got to take that number and you multiply it by 2, and then you do that 10 times. Or you take that number and you multiply it by 1,024, which is elevated by 210 times. And that's where you'll be in 30 days if it's not contained. And if that happens here, that means we'll have 32,000 cases in Aruba, which doesn't sound like a lot for other countries, but considering we have 115,000 people here, and that's lowballing it, right? If you go to the higher or more likely scenario, it's 90,000 people out of 115,000. It means everybody's going to get it, right? We have one single hospital here. I heard we have four ventilators, four machines for people who need breathing support. Four. So just the thought of, you know, if this isn't contained fast enough, what's going to happen? Maybe not to me. Yeah, maybe not. Maybe I'm not going to be the one who's there about to die, right? But to everybody who needs regular healthcare, to everybody who's, you know, looking to go to the hospital to give birth, to, you know, get help because their leg is broken, to get help because they're diabetic, because they have complications of another illness, because all the regular healthcare, the reason the hospital is there, those people aren't going to have any help. And that percentage of how many people actually are going to die from this virus that is supposed to be not a big deal, it's going to be really, really, really high when you consider you're in a place that doesn't have any resources where we are.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
So this whole, you know, getting that call, like, come in, you got to be tested. It was very brief because we had to go, but I gave myself like a minute of bawling and breaking down, you know, not in front of Leia. And she's been, Dennis, of course, is the calmest person in the universe, most grounded person you'll ever meet. So calm. And he feels the fear, like it's real for him too, but he is so calm. And driving to this place, we had to decide. So only one person was allowed to go in. So it had to be him or me going in there for her to get tested. And she's very, when she gets sick, she's very in this mommy phase. And I was just so worried about how that was going to be for her. I'm also the one who's extremely anal about hygiene. Like, I feel like Dennis is more clumsy. He you know, touches his face a lot. Like, he's just like a dude. So I said, okay, no, I want to go in. I'm going to go in with her. I'm going to make sure we don't touch. It's basically like we're going into the epicenter of Corona. So it's also that feeling of, okay, let's get tested. So at least if she has it, we know we all have it, like for sure, 100,000%. If she has it, I have it, Dennis have it. Like, then we'll know. If she doesn't, it'll be a relief, of course. Like, we can relax knowing that neither of us like are likely to have it. Like, we share food. Like, we're a very tight family. But then it's the feeling like, what if you go to the place to get tested and you get it there, because that's literally where every high risk person that they believe might have it goes. Everyone who was positive were at that place. So it's this debate, you know. But then Dennis said, you know, he says, you think there's any place on the island that's cleaner than that place? Any place where they're more careful? And what are you going to do if they ask you to be tested? You're going to say, no, I'm not going, you know, if we don't find out if we have it. We can't contain it in our circle, you know, so it's like it's our responsibility to go. Of course, you know, if you have the chance to get tested, do it 100%. But so we park outside, and I had a tote bag. I had a box of Lysol wipes, big thing of hand sanitizer. I had baby wipes. I brought soap. I don't know what I was thinking. Like, where am I going to? Yeah, I just wasn't really thinking. And then we go in. And immediately, like, I'm trying not to touch the door. I'm like pushing the door open with my foot, with my shoe. And as I do that, I realize I'm wearing flip-flops. Like, why am I wearing flip-flops? Like, I should have a closed toe shoe, would feel more safe. But like, you know, we left in a hurry. Like, this is really how you have to think entering this place that you know is super likely to be contaminated. And I go inside, and it's like a regular little waiting room. There's one woman there with a face mask, sitting there waiting in her 50s maybe. And I haven't seen a single person in Aruba wearing a face mask. And of course, the feeling in the car, you know, and Leia has a fever. She's not feeling well. in the car, I was trying to explain, like, hey, you know, trying to be happy and trying to act normal. We're going to go to the doctor. And you love the doctor, because normally she loves the doctor. We had this wonderful doctor experience when we were in Costa Rica a couple of weeks ago, and she had impetigo. And an EMT at Envision Festival was helping clean her wounds, and he was like her favorite person. His name is Abdarian. She still talks about him. And I was so happy, like, she got to have a positive doctor experience. And I was thinking then that this is really good for when she needs to go to the doctor for real, that she's not going to be scared. And I were in the car and I'm explaining, hey, we're going to go to the doctor. And she's like, yay, let's first go to the cinema and then the beach. And then we go see Abdarian at the doctor. And I'm like, we're not going to go to the cinema right now. We're not going to go to the beach right now, but we can go another day. We're going to go to a doctor now. It's not Abdarian, but it's going to be just as fun. You know, it's going to be super. It's going to be totally, totally okay. And all they're going to do is they're going to take a Q-tip and they're going to tickle you in your nose. And then she looks at me and she goes, tickle me in my nose? And I'm like, yeah, they're going to just tickle you in your nose. It's just to see it. It's just because you're sick and they're going to try to get the boo-boo out. I said, they're going to try to get the sickness out. And she said, but I don't want to tickle my nose. And I'm like, I know. Yeah, maybe it's not going to feel good, but it's going to be really quick. It's going to be really quick. And then we're going to go home and eat ice cream. Like I said, something like that. And you could tell. And she was like, And she said, that sounds silly, mama. It sounds really silly. I'm like, yeah, it is very silly. And then I'm trying to keep up this normalcy, which of course I'm terrified, panicked, freaking out, which of course she can sense. And walking into that place, seeing that woman with a mouth mask, or what do you call them? A face mask. She immediately, I mean, Leia, just stepping into that place, she clung to me like a koala baby. Like, she got absolutely terrified the moment we entered the space, which of course it's this super, super, it's just filled with fear, of course. And then there's a little reception desk filled with hand sanitizer. And I just said, hi, we're here and this is who we are. And then they gave us two face masks and said, put these on immediately. And I put mine on and Leia started crying just from that. That was all it took. Like, I put a face mask on and she looked at me and said, take it off. I don't like it. Take it off. And I said, honey, you have to wear one too. And she starts bawling. I don't want to wear it. Like, she's terrified. She knew, like, we're in a place that we're not supposed to be here. Like, this is not good. And I tried, but I mean, imagine trying to force a face mask on a three-year-old that doesn't want to wear one. Like, and I just asked the lady, I said, hey, this is not going to happen. Is it okay? Like, can she be without? Like, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? Like, I can't. And the lady goes, yeah, okay. I guess we're going to, you don't have to do it. And then she explains, like, I'm going to open this door for you. Don't touch anything. Don't touch the door. Don't touch the walls. You're going to enter the second waiting room. Don't let her sit on her own or walk on her own. She can't walk around. You have to hold her. I'm like, dude, she's like clinging to me, putting her claws in my arm. She's so scared. And then they took her information from, I don't know, 30 feet away, like from across the room. They took her information. Everyone is wearing hazmat suits, like the woman who took the information just had complete protective clothing, like head and like head to toe. They took the information. And then the doctor who actually did took the test was in a complete fucking hazmat suit. And there's other people, like one guy walking out who had just been tested. And then a woman with a 2-year-old walking in. And I'm just standing in the middle of the room, clutching my kid, trying not to touch anything. Like, they're like, please sit down. I'm like, no. I'm not gonna sit down. Like, I'm fine to stand. And so there was three other people total, and they put each of us in a different corner, as far away from each other as possible. And then when it was our time to go in, this guy is wearing it's like one of those things you see in a sci-fi movie. I have never in my it hasn't even occurred to me that there's an actual need for these things in real life. Like, I've only ever seen someone in a full hazmat suit in a sci-fi movie. Like, that's what it was. So, the guy opening the door for us to enter there, and it's almost like with face masks, it's so hard to read people's emotions. You know, half their face is covered. They don't look human anymore. So I think Leia got super scared just with the face mask because she couldn't see me anymore. She couldn't see, am I smiling? Am I freaking out? She couldn't tell because you can't show emotions with those things on. And then the door opens and the person there who's supposed to be the nice doctor, you know, to do this little nose tickle that I was explaining in the car, he looked like an alien. Like he looked like he came from another planet. And to a 3-year-old that's already sick, has a 104 fever and is terrified, you know, she lost it like immediately. We walked in there and she just, "Mama, I don't want to. No, let me out. I don't want to." And I just realized the moment we got in there, I'm like, I'm not gonna, you know, we have no option. Like I can't leave. We have to do this. And I had some people share on social media, like, "Why are you making that sound bad?" You know, I don't mean to minimize anybody else's trauma, but today was absolutely traumatic for us. And, you know, there are kids out there who have life-threatening illnesses, who have cancer, who need to be poked and prodded and tested in 100 different ways every day. You know, absolutely. And I feel for everybody who has it so much worse. And we are blessed to get this test. Oh my God. People are trying to get tested in other parts of the world and they can't because there's not enough tests. So I know it's like we're blessed and all of that, but, you know, we've never been in a situation like this before. Leia has never in her life encountered anything remotely similar to this ever, ever. And this guy in this complete suit, you know, I couldn't even tell you like how old was he? Like I couldn't see him. Just said, "You're going to have to hold her down." And I didn't want to put her on the table because obviously Corona. So I had to hold her in my arms and then use my right hand to hold her forehead down. It really felt like a violation, you know, and I think if it was a regular thing, it wouldn't have been so scary, right? If it was a regular doctor with a face she could see, someone who could smile at her, someone who could explain to her, "Here's what we're going to do. This is why we're doing," you know, she likes to understand things. Like whenever we have to do hard things, if she can understand why, she's usually really okay, even if it's things she doesn't want to do or hard things or uncomfortable things. But now it was like this big, you know, alien man. Didn't even look like a man. Like he looked like a monster. I hope he's not listening because I'm sure he's super lovely, but just with that suit on. And then me, who said it was going to be a little tickle, like it's not going to be a big deal. Yeah, like I had to use my right hand to hold her forehead down because she's just screaming, you know, using every muscle in her body to try to fight to get out of there. And then use my left hand to hold both of her arms down, like with all my force. And then it was a nasal swab, but he had to get it way, 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 way up there. Like it wasn't like I've had nasal swabs done. This was not, I don't know if they had to be more rough or harsh or go deeper or because it's such a serious situation, but it hurt her for sure. Yeah, but more than the swab, like it was really, I think, my fear, my panic, being in that kind of unbelievably terrifying environment, and then this suited person, you know, it was like not human. It was like no, it's like this virus is making it impossible for us to be human with each other. Like we can't touch each other. We can't, you know, these people, like you can't show your face. You can't show emotion. You can't reassure someone, you know, like it's going to be okay. Like you can't even convey that.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
So for her, I mean, I'm 100% sure this was super traumatic. Probably more traumatic for me. Someone was upset that how can you call that a trauma by saying that you're minimizing every person who's ever been through a real trauma. Like, hey, I have been through real fucking traumas. So like you can go sit down. And the definition of a trauma, which that person probably doesn't know, it's not defined by what happened. It's not defined by the outer circumstance of what came your way, you know. It's defined by something coming your way too fast, too much, too fast, too soon. Yeah, where our nervous system isn't prepared or isn't ready to cope. And that 100% was what this day was for us. And going, leaving there. Yeah, I got out of there as fast as humanly possible. And then we got in the car. And I sterilized everything I could. And it's also that feeling of like, okay, I have to sterilize everything. But how can you actually really ever do that? Like, you can't wipe down a piece of cloth, for instance. I had a bag, like a tote bag, and everybody's using hand sanitizer. And then the tote bag was on the floor of that office. And I'm bringing the tote bag in the car where I keep my, feet. And then, we go in the house. It's like, once you really start to think about it, this is impossible. Like, it's impossible to contain. We can do our best, but we can't be sure. There's no way. And coming home, I just told Dennis, like, hey, we gotta wipe down and clean this car. Like where I sat, where you sat, where Leia sat. And we put our shoes in like a bucket of water and bleach, took all of our clothes off outside, and went straight into the bathtub, washed our hands and then went straight into the bathtub. But still this feeling, I was like, I have to wash our hair. Like, yeah. And then later today on the couch, like, I really scrubbed everything down. I'm just looking at my arm and I have these two hair ties on. And I'm like, okay, well, my hair tie was on that chair, like where my arm was resting. What if like there was virus there and now it's on my hair tie and now I'm on the couch and now we all have it. Maybe we get the test back tomorrow and she didn't have it, but now for sure we have it. It's like this whole situation, like there's no out, there's no out. Everything is just absolutely fucking terrible for so many people right now. And yeah, so coming home, I really tried to sit down with her and explain. And then it's asked, how was it? And he said, it hurt my nose. I didn't like it. And I was trying to explain, you were so brave. And she said, no, I'm not brave. I said, but you are very brave. And I don't want to be brave. And I'm like, I don't want to have to be brave either. I wish we didn't have to be brave. I wish we were all just safe. I just wish all of us were safe and that we didn't have this big, fearful thing hanging over all of our heads right now. But that's just not where we are. Then an hour later, she was calm. She ate something. She drank some water. And then a little after that, she started jumping on the couch. Like, she got some energy back, which made me feel good. And I know, like, if it turns out she has it, like, she's going to be fine. She's going to be totally fine. I don't have to fear for her life. I have pretty severe asthma. Like, I'm probably fine too. I don't know how strong my immune system is. I've just been sick for 18 months on and off. Like, I have no idea. But likely, yes, I will also be fine. Dennis will also be fine. Like, if anybody that has interacted with us, which I don't know, I read that the median incubation time for this is 5.1 days. So I don't know if we have it. Hopefully it's something that she got at daycare, like on Thursday or Friday, and now she's showing symptoms now, and not something that picked up 2 weeks ago to trace back every single person that we stopped hugging people, a week, 10 days ago, nine days ago, maybe. But yeah, before that, this was like this thing happening somewhere else, that wasn't so bad. For anybody listening who feels like, yeah, it still isn't so bad, it is bad. It is bad. And if it's not bad in your area, it's going to get bad. And I'm really trying to balance this, the reality of this with, we are all going to be okay, right? And there are other pieces to this, and I'll have to save this for another episode, but we are suffering financial consequences from this pandemic to a degree that I could never have imagined. Never. We had to, of course, close the studio. We have staff that is completely reliant on people, our brick and mortar business, on people coming in to practice and, buying things in the boutique and eating, and we had to close. We can't, we won't have salaries for people in a couple of weeks. And we've had to have some really, really, truly awful conversations with people we love the most in the world. And all of that happened today. All of that happened today. And I'll save that for another time. But it's been such a few days. So much has happened in such a short time. I cannot believe it, actually. But there's other people out there who, yeah, I cannot compare my situation to theirs. We have a family that we supported through the Yoga Girl Foundation last year that were without a home because of a really, really unfortunate incident that happened. I don't want to share details because, of course, it's very private. But where we put them up for a few months and helped them find a house and with small kids. And she texted this beautiful, beautiful woman who's been okay now for a while, that she has $15 and no job to return to, and saying, hey, we're hungry, you know? Oh, Jesus. Just that, right? Which also makes me feel like, okay, I'm here trying to, you know, frantically trying to make sure we don't have to let all of our employees go. And, you know, everyone on the team here is super resourceful, you know, has a big network. Like I know, you know, it's very, very hard to be where we are, but I know everybody's going to be okay. I'm trying to figure those things out on that scale, you know, as a business owner, as someone who we own our house, like we have all of these, the sense of security that's still there. And then this woman with two small children, she texts me and, you know, we're hungry. Like, and they literally didn't have food for a couple of days. They didn't have food to eat. So immediately going from, okay, here is my own level of struggle, which is here. And it's terrifying and it's scary and I want to feel my feelings and move through this. And then, you know, drop into the reality of someone who lives 10 minutes away from me, who doesn't have food to eat, can't feed her kids. And how easy is it for me to organize a food drive? Like, I put a message in three of my chat groups locally here. Hey, we need some help. Who can donate some food, some clothes, some toys, you know, dried food, good canned goods. And immediately we have something put together where, yeah, she's going to be okay for this month for sure. And we can continue to supporting her, you know, obviously. But the thought of that, how many people right now are not just fearing for their jobs, for their health, but for their lives, right? For their children, for the future of their children, not knowing if you're going to be able to feed your kids next week. It's a different place than many of us are looking from. And I would love it if we could all keep those people in mind right now. You know, do what you have to do. Put everything into place that you need to do to keep yourself safe and to keep yourself protected. But leave a little bit of space for the people who are even worse off. And I think if we look up and around, we'll find ways to be of service during this time. And you see so many beautiful examples of that everywhere, which warms my heart every day. But I think this is a time for us to really, 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 really stick together, to support each other, to take care of ourselves, really roll out your mat every day, practice yoga, take deep breaths, drink water, nourish yourselves in more ways than just not, it's not just not getting sick, right? It's actually staying nourished and staying on top of your mental health and taking care of yourself so you can take care of others. Yeah, I really wish I could end this podcast on this super light, positive note. Hopefully, okay, I know how to end this podcast now. I would like to end this podcast with a prayer. My prayer is very, very simple, very profound. Dear God, may next week's podcast be more positive and more hopeful and bring more good news than this one. That's my prayer, that next time you hear my voice, next episode, I have some good news to share. Things are in a better place for all of us. We can see some light at the end of a tunnel. That is my prayer. That is my hope. Until then, let's take this one day at a time. One day at a time. Stay safe. Wash your hands. Stay at home. And take care of yourself. I love you so much. And of course, I will keep you up to date when we get the test results. It's going to be 24 hours before we know if we are infected with the virus or not. And I'll probably make an addition to this show, or you can go to my Instagram, Yoga Girl, to get more information in case I leave you with a big cliffhanger right now. I hope not. But yeah, thank you for listening. And I'll be back with good news next week. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of the Yoga Girl podcast, Conversations from the Heart. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to listen and subscribe to other great episodes. You can find all of them on yogagirl.com, on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, anywhere you normally get your podcasts. Don't forget to leave a review while you are there. Thanks to the folks at Cadence 13 for their production work. And of course, thanks to my sponsors. Please support them the way they support this podcast. I'll see you next week.